Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Service Request Problem Submission Tool Overview. Today's presenter is Bill Carey. Bill is an advisory software engineer and has program manager as well as knowledge engineer responsibilities in WebSphere. His focus over the last several years has been web support and in particular electronic problem submission. Bill works with external clients as well as with the IBM support community and web support training. He is also focused on improving support content quality and new initiatives. He is the knowledge engineer for the WebSphere Data Power SOA appliances. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Bill.
Okay, thank you, Joseph. I'd like to welcome all of you who are joining this call today, and also to those who are going to be reviewing the material and listening to the recording at a later point in time. I'm pleased to be taking you through this overview of our new tool, our service request or SR problem submission tool, because the first release that we plan to make available in the second quarter of 2009, it's not available today. It's a significant step, really, in terms of simplifying and streamlining the electronic problem submission process. So we've heard from our clients, we're listening, and they've told us a couple of things. First of all, they want fewer tools in terms of problem submission. And secondly, the tooling has to be very reliable. So we're on the right path in terms of tool consolidation. And in terms of reliability, we've taken a big step with the SR tool in terms of the application being hosted in the events infrastructure environment. I'll talk more about that a bit later. Another point is my email address is on the first page here, WJCAREY. So if you do have a question later, certainly you can send me an email. I'd be happy to respond. Go to page two, please. So here's our agenda. I'm going to be talking about the benefits of using the SR tool, talk about user roles, how you can access the tool, and again, that's going to be in the second quarter of this year. How you open a new service request. I've got some screenshots to take you through that process. There's going to be an attachment capability, so you can attach log, trace, dump files, and get those associated with your service request. The point here about administering relationships basically means if you're a site technical contact, in other words, an administrator, you can add new users. And if you're a regular user or an authorized caller, you can get associated with more than one customer number. There's a search capability, so you can find other service requests, not just those that you've submitted. And the last point here is that there is a web page that we have available today, and we're going to be updating it, any news about this new tool. So page three. So this new tool is going to be for our customers who have active maintenance agreements like Passport Advantage, Premium Support, Support Line. You see the list here, software maintenance agreement, and the monthly license charges, support contracts. And it's a significant step in terms of tool consolidation. So SSR users are going to be migrated over and are going to be using this tool, as well as ESR, the electronic service request users, they'll be migrated over as well and will be using this tool. An advantage of using this tool, and it was the case with the ESR tool or SSR, is that you can describe your software problems that you're encountering, describe your environment, and it really does eliminate that call center contact. So in other words, when you pick up the phone and you want to submit a PMR or service request by phone, and you dial 1-800-IBM-SERVE, you're generally getting to our call center teams. So this does bypass and streamline that process. You can monitor and update existing problems. So that means if you were to open a service request electronically on a given day, and then at another point in time, you open a service request by phone, you have access to both of those records, assuming they were both open under the same customer number. And the same is true if a colleague of yours has opened service requests at different times and through different means. You both have access to all of those records, all of those service requests. The gating factor, of course, is they have to be opened under the same customer number. You can attach files. In fact, with the SR tool, you're going to be able to attach multiple files to your requests. And the last point here on three is you can get notified when your service request has been updated. I want to add one more point here to three because I forgot to include it, and it's the fact that in terms of reliability, this web application is going to be running in the events infrastructure environment. And this is where high-profile events, like sporting events, say the U.S. Open tennis tournament, or a few years ago when the IBM sponsored and hosted the Olympics, it's the environment where applications run. In other words, it's triple redundant, automatic failover, near 100% availability in terms of the application being up and available. So essentially no maintenance windows. Let's go to page four. So here are the roles. There's the site technical contact, or STC role. That's the person who adds, edits, generally maintains the list of authorized users, of eligible people who can access the tool. Every client and every organization needs to have a primary STC. That's the person whose name is called out. In this case, I indicate Passport Advantage, but as I indicated before, there are other types of contracts that are associated and can be used with the SR tool. So you need to have a primary STC, but if it makes sense for your business, you can have secondaries set up to nine, and they can assist and help the primary STC in terms of the administrative tasks, adding new users, changing roles of users, that sort of thing. And then moving down here, you've got the authorized caller role, also known as name caller. You can have as many of those as you need, and that's the person or that's the group added by one or any of the site technical contacts. Authorized reader, as it suggests, that's an individual who can monitor. So an authorized reader couldn't create a new PMR, but could access and could at least read the existing records. And then there is also a business partner function. And essentially that means a means by which you can extend your support contract so that business partners can open PMRs on your behalf. So the last point here on four is that both site technical contacts and authorized callers can open new and update existing PMRs under a given customer number. Now let me just stop there and say that I did fall back on an old habit of using the acronym PMR, which stands for Problem Management Record. The problem records that you create in this new tool are being referred to as service requests, which is more of an industry standard. So apologies in advance if I happen to use the PMR acronym from time to time. I'll try not to as I go through this material. Page five. So here are the steps to access the tool. First, everybody needs to register on our software support site. It's a one-shot deal. You only register once, and it's at that point that you create your ID and password that you're going to need later on. And then the second point, or at least the second step, is that that individual needs to be added by one or any of the site technical contacts. So after the primary site technical contact or a secondary STC adds that new user, that authorized caller, then a welcome email automatically gets sent out to that new user with additional instructions. Page six. So here's how you can access the tool. You can go to our main software support site. There's a screenshot. And looking in that right center nav area, you see open service request. So clicking on that string is going to allow you to drill down and get to the tool. Page seven. Now, you can either be on our main product support site, software support site, or you could be on a specific product support page. I've included this screenshot here on page seven because we are in a transition phase. Many of our product support pages are using a new design, and you'll see that open service request string in the right navigation area. You may find, however, that some of our pages are still using the older design, and you see it here, at least a screenshot on page 7. If you happen to visit a page like this, you click on Report Problems, and it will take you to the same place as the Open Service Request link would take you. Let's go to page 8. So regardless of the link you selected in the previous slides, you'd come here to the Open Service Request page. In this case, it's WebSphere Application Server Support on the top of the page. But if you're visiting or you're going to a Lotus product or Tivoli or Rational, you might have a different product name at the top. But essentially, the layout of the bottom half of the page will be the same. So you click on ESR/SR, a little key icon. And by the way, when the migration occurs from ESR to SR, then there are going to be redirects in place automatically underneath this page, so you will be taken to the new tool. So there's no work in that regard or URL changes that you need to worry about. So let's assume we're going to click on that ESR/SR link and page 9. And then you come to this sign-in screen. And it's here that you'd enter your ID and password, in other words, those values that you chose when you registered. Press Submit. Let's go to page 10. And so here is the welcome page for the new SR tool. You're going to see if you are an ESR user, if you're familiar with the Electronic Service Request tool, that the interface and the behavior are similar. Just keep that in mind and when you begin using the new tool. Now, if I wanted to open a new service request, I'm either going to use the function in the left nav, open a new service request string, or same function for the string under my name. Click on that, and it would start the process to get a new service request created. And anytime you see a number, a service request number, it's hot. You can click on that link and drill down to get to the record behind it. Page 11. Now here's a screenshot. In fact, I'll have two of the profile. One's profile. Everyone who uses this tool has a profile, and there are a couple of things to keep in mind and a couple of settings that are useful to know about, especially for new users as you begin using the tool. For one thing, there's some contact information that you can see and modify. Another point is that if you want to be notified when your service requests are updated, then you have a means within this tool to indicate by severity that you want to be notified when the record is updated or when you've indicated it and then when it's going to be closed. Let's see what those checkboxes. Page 12. Now, this is the bottom half of the profile page. A couple of things to keep in mind. I've blocked out the IBM customer numbers here. You would see them when you start using this tool. That information is going to migrate over. So if you've been associated with one or more customer numbers in ESR, for instance, once the migration occurs, you'll be associated with those same customer numbers and contracts when you move over to the or are migrated to the new tool. The other point I want to make is in the bottom half of this page, and that would be the My Preferred Product Component list. You have a means within this tool to create a favorites list. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that. But when you're in your profile, you can see the favorites or the preferred product component list pairs that you've selected, and you can remove them, and you can either streamline the process of building this list quickly by clicking on that Add to My Preferred Product Component List, or you can do it one service request at a time. But I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. Page 13. Now, let's assume we've clicked on that Open a New Service Request, and this is what the interface is going to look like. Now, there's going to be a different look to the service request tool, and what I'd like you to do is keep in mind that there are three distinct sections of the user interface. and you'll get familiar with it as you start using this tool. I've numbered the sections 1, and then on the next page you'll see 2 and 3. Number 1 is the same as the ESR tool, and that's the preferred product component list. You have a way to build a what we could generally refer to as a favorites list. If you have lengthy product component lists and you only tend to open service requests against a subset, then you can build the a list right here. It will be displayed when you first get to this point in the tool. So that's the first section. Now let's go to slide 14. Now just sort of continuing what you would see in that first and that whole screen, the second part of the interface is going to be your entitled list. So I'm going to be able to go, in this case, to select a product from my entitled list either by selecting from the A through Z selector, or I can run a search if my product lists tend to be lengthy, or I can just pick from the and use the slide bar and just highlight the product that I want to choose. Now, there's the difference, and what's new about the SR tool is the third section, the section toward the bottom of the page. It's here that if, for instance, you want to open a service request against a product that's not in your entitled list, you have a means to do that. In the bottom half, you see entire IBM software product catalog. You can search for and select a product from our entire catalog. Now, if you use this function, once you submit that service request, you go through the process. You need to pick a product component. I'll talk about that in a minute. But once you actually submit the service request against one of the products in this product catalog, our support contracts group is notified, and then our contracts people will work with you and your organization to get the right entitlement records in place. And then at that point, your service request is routed to our support teams, goes to a queue in our problem management system, and it's business as usual. So just keep in mind the distinct sections of the interface in SR. Page 15. I've picked a product in the previous page, and what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pick a product, and let's go to 16. So now the same behavior as was the case with the ESR tool, you need to pick a product, and then you also need to pick a component in terms of getting the process started. If I were to highlight one of the components in this list, you're going to see a string at the bottom of the list, add selected product and component to your preferred list. That's going to be grayed out when you initially start using the tool. Once you highlight one of your components, you'll see that text, and if you put a check in that checkbox, a couple of things are going to happen. One is you'll press continue, you'll move through the tool, and you'll actually be able to get the service request created and submitted. But also, the product component pair are going to be put in your profile, and you can go back and see those, modify, remove as appropriate. And then the third, it's going to take the product component pair that you've chosen, and it's going to populate that in the area in the tool. And remember, a slide or two before, I was talking about that favorites list, the preferred product list. It's going to be empty when you start using SR, but it's fairly easy to build this product preferred list. At any rate, that's how you can do it. Page 17. So, working through the flow of how you would normally use the tool in the process, because I have a profile, this information is going to feed in to this particular service request. I can make changes, alternate contact, if you see that field near the bottom of the page. If I were to expand that list, it's actually going to be all of the authorized callers and all of the site technical contacts associated with this customer number. So in addition to the email address at the top in terms of notification, I can also get a colleague in the loop in terms of notification or at least being appraised and aware of activity relative to this service request by selecting that person's name in the alternate contact field. Page 18. where we actually get to the problem description area of the tool. I can make changes, as you see in the top part of the screen, if I want to change product or component. Working down a bit now. Severity. Of course, our clients always select the severity, you know, 1 through 4, and there's a little help text there to clarify and remind you of 1 being the high severity and 4 being, you know, less severe. One change relative to the SR tool is the fact that the field, how is this problem impacting your business, that's now a required field. And we've made it required because it's important for us to get a full sense of the implications and the impact that this issue is having with your organization. So by making that required, it really does, we hope, give us, you know, an opportunity to collect that information and really use that along with the severity level to help you solve your issue, your problem. Let's go to 19. So here's the bottom half of the problem description field. Title, obviously required. Problem description, some additional information, that's a required field as well. You can attach files, and something that's new in the SR tool, say compared with the electronic service request tool, is you're going to be able to attach individual files. And you will see them appear in there as you do a browse and locate those and then make note of those in terms of your submission. So at this point, once I've attached the files I need and the problem description is complete, I have two choices. Either I'm going to submit this record, the service request, at which point a number gets generated immediately or almost immediately. It's generally quite fast. Or I'm going to save this as a draft. And if I do that, the data does not come into our problem management system, but it does allow you to go back, add additional details, attach a file perhaps, and then actually get the record submitted. Page 20. So relationship administration, and essentially what the purpose of this section in the tool is all about is if I'm a user, I'm an authorized caller, a user, and I'm associated with 1 customer number, and I'd like to get associated with a 2nd or 3rd, an unlimited number, then I can use the function in this section to do that, to alert an STC associated with another customer number that I want to be associated with that customer number. And also it's here that a site technical contact can go in and add new users. Page 21. So this expands a bit the relationship administration area. You see at the top, if I wanted to get associated with an additional customer number, I can enter that the number. Generally, it's a 7-digit number in that field near the top. And I can also, there's also a justification section as well to just elaborate and explain, you know, who I am or why I need to have this access. Page 22. So here's the search results page. You have a means within the tool to access not just service requests that you created, but those created by others in your organization. Again, the gating factor is they have to be opened under the same customer number. And then there is going to be a means in the tool to access archived service requests as well. You see near the bottom of the page. I believe the service request number, if there's a little A after it, I think that will indicate that it's an archived document or record. Page 23. So in summary, this tool and the value of this tool is it allows you to create service requests at any time. You can access, you can update these records based on your on the customer number, and colleagues can as well. You have a file attachment capability. You can receive notification when your requests are updated. And I've included a URL here. There is a news page that we have available from our main software support site, and it currently provides information, general information about the tool, and when the rollout occurs, we will we'll update that page. So page 24. Here's some additional WebSphere product resources. So this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. The DeveloperWorks site offers in-depth technical information. The events link on the support page points you to webcasts and conference information. The Education Assistant consists of some self-help modules to get new users set up if you have new users in your organization. The reference here to the ESR tool is obviously going to change because the ESR tool is being replaced by the SR tool, again, second quarter time frame of this year. And the last point here is that My Notifications is a subscription service, and it's a way for you to sign up for weekly email updates for products that are of interest to you. Let's go to 25. I think we're ready to open the lines. Joseph and Delia?
Thank you, Bill, for a great presentation. So at this point, Delia, why don't we open the lines for questions?
Let's go to Wendell Lovewell, McKinney Systems.
Hello. I've been using the ETR on IBM Link. Will that continue to be available, or will that be shut down at some point?
Right. Good question, sir. So ETR will continue to be available. It's the tool that for everybody that Z-Series, our customers have used for a number of years. Okay. So ETR is on our radar screen, but for the foreseeable future, you will be using ETR and continue to use that to submit your PMRs.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bank of America's Jerry Carlin.
Hi. One of the things I'm concerned about, I see the question about the re-registration, but I'm concerned about the conversion in two areas. If we only have two people that can approve new people, and they get hit by several thousand or whatever the number is, people that are registered with IBM now, that's going to be a real bottleneck. So I'm concerned about the time and what happens if we have like a SEV1 and somebody needs to report it and they haven't registered yet. As well.
Right. Okay. So a couple of things. So first of all, we plan to migrate all of our authorized call lists and STC lists over. So that should be seamless in terms of our clients who are using, say, ESR today.
Great.
You don't have to re-register. And the other thing is, all the entitled products will come over as well. Now, maybe it was misleading in the slide earlier. You can have actually 10 people who are administrators. You need to have the primary STC, but you can have additional secondaries, and you can have up to 9 of those. So you can have a number of people who maintain that administrator role.
Okay, that's good, given that we're a worldwide corporation. We have people in India doing support too.
Right.
So we need to find somebody in India for the sake of argument, maybe some other countries.
Right.
To do that. Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Moving on to John McDonald, American.
You stated that you could have an alternate contact and you have more than one.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to back up. You can have one email on the slide earlier indicates, so-and-so is going to get notified. It can be your email address or somebody else's. And then, in addition, one other in the alt contact. That's not a multiple selection list.
Right. So it's only two then?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And lastly, the initial ESR screen right now will only show 4 PMRs when you log in.
Right.
Is that going to change? Can we get a few more than 4?
I believe with SR you're going to be able to choose and to see additional ones. Now do keep in mind that you can get to the superset, right?
Oh yes, sure. I know how to do it. I use the tool all the time.
I'm very
familiar with it.
I'm fairly certain that SR is going to say, do you want to show more than just the 4? I'd have to test that, but I believe that's the case with the new tool.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Our next question now comes from Guido Rush with Zurich Fin Services.
Yes, can I still use the same FTP batch jobs as I do now for PMRs for transferring docs, or do I have to use just these attachment buttons?
Right. If you have a way, sir, to get into to submit attachments today using FTP, you can continue to do that. We're not taking that capability away. But SR is going to behave similar to ESR in terms of, you know, a means by which you can associate your attachments to the service request. What's a little different with SR is you can attach kind of multiple separate files at one time. There is a 2 gig limit, but I think the bottom line, the answer to your question is you can still use that FTP capability.
Okay, thank you. That's fine.
And let's now move on to Mike Warfield with Mentor Graphics.
Yes, I went through a migration when you purchased Rational from SRs to the ESR system, and now it looks like we're going back to different naming. As a customer, what's the big benefit to me in this change? Because most of the functionality that I can see is already there in the ESR system, and I see a lot of risk in losing history. We still have PMRs that are, you know, years old, and I see those disappearing.
Well, so first of all, the PMRs won't disappear. The whole point of this SR tool is kind of long-term strategy on our part to consolidate and get to fewer tools. So if the primary benefit of a customer today who with SR is I use SSR and I use ESR and I want to move to one tool. I think that's the primary benefit with SR. But we're on the road to bringing other tools into the fold and doing a consolidation. But you won't be losing records. We do, you know, we're very, very conscious of that and are aware that you need to, you know, maintain access to your service request, to your PMRs.
And will you be porting all those, basically moving all the open ones over? Or is that something we have to request?
No. So the information relative to your customer numbers is going to be maintained, right? So I come over as a new user to SR. I'm still going to have access to those open service requests or PMRs. You don't have to request or indicate anything on your part. That's part of our migration work.
Moving on now to Derek Cook with Roth Brothers.
Yes, I'd like to know if we can use this site to upload, instead of using the FTP site, other than the initial upload.
So you have a means within this tool to upload, you know, multiple unlimited numbers of attachments. We don't set a limit other than the 2 gig limit per, you know, per instance. So you can continue to use that FTP if you're submitting your attachments, your log trace files that way. Does that answer your question, or am I missing one?
Well, I understand for the initial upload, I can put them in here, but I can go back in the future.
Absolutely.
I mean, back in, you know.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
We have no further questions in our queue at this time, Mr. Lamb. Back to you for additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, Dahlia. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.